I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This is how I fight my battles, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. The Premier League has returned and the champions are up and running. Palace got a win too, and Daniel Sturridge scored. Let's go! Well, I suppose you're wondering why I sent for you all.
Hairs on the back of the neck stuff, Marcus, that. Your let's go is right up there. It's with Yuri Gagarin, to me.
I thought you were going to say Yuri Geller.
Yeah, sort of similar. You got a similar vibe.
Yuri Speller.
You've ruined every last spoon in your house.
Yeah.
For young listeners, he was an idiot. Whenever we have to explain something, for young listeners, he was an idiot that we shouldn't think about anymore.
I can link it back to football, though, and Marcus can too.
Yeah.
He claimed that during Euro 96, when England beat Scotland and Gary McAllister missed a penalty, the ball slightly moved on the spot, and Yuri Geller said it was mind control.
And he said he was in a helicopter, didn't he?
Did he? Above he added that later.
He added that later.
The story's got more and more ridiculous.
And then I landed it on the Queen's face.
Yeah.
Confusing story.
But England got the win.
They did.
They got that win, and so did Manchester City.
Mm.
It was the first time since the 1800s that Wenger wasn't in the dugout at the Emirates. Or 1996. Or not the Emirates, of course, in the Arsenal the dugout.
Can I bring something to the table that might have gone under the radar, and it's gone so far under the radar I'm worried I might be wrong?
You're a Geller in a helicopter? A literal radar?
The new Arsenal, mate. No, did Arsenal, the football club, put pressure on Arsenal Fan TV to change their name?
Oh, did they?
And I think it might be called like AFTV or something now.
Oh, really?
Because you've given them some more... exposure.
I'm just saying.
What are they called? AFTV?
I don't know what. I think it's AFTV. Is cameraman Sam going to nod or shake? He's an Arsenal fan. He doesn't know either. I'll check during the show. But I think Arsenal, the club, have put pressure on them saying you can't have Arsenal in your name.
Otherwise, we're
wonderful.
They'll give you a kick in.
And then Man City won. So what's the next game?
Hey, hang on. Whoa.
Yeah.
Do you respect AFTV?
I don't even know that's what it's called.
All I'm saying is, guys, your move, the Ramblers Association of Great Britain.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
Don't challenge him. I see what you mean.
No, we've got an uneasy truce with him. That is a warning shot across their bow.
I'm going to attack all their styles.
They're coming.
With a hammer.
They're coming. Slowly. We've got time to get away, but they're coming. Arsenal, they were beaten.
It is AFTV, apparently. AFTV Media, there you go.
Gordon, there we are. You see? That's where the search is over. we can now find out what people really thought of the game. But let's give our thoughts. Manchester City, they were superior throughout.
Did they need to be that superior?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's very early days and so on and so forth.
Did they have the type of Tony Kroos discussion at halftime saying, come on, let's not embarrass them. And they're in their own backyard. Let's go easy a little bit.
It was just so ordinary. It was like, you know, like halftime during the West Ham-Liverpool match. We were like, West Ham need to sort their shit out, and they need to sort it out really, really quickly. Mm-hmm. In this case, it was like as if they'd sorted their shit out, but not quite enough.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
Well, I think Guardiola, he did try and help with putting De Bruyne, company, Sané and Jesus on the bench.
See, that's the dig.
David Silva, I think he's out with an injury. He wasn't even in the squad. Manchester City, they are the best side in the land, and they proved it quite handsomely once again. And little Raheem Sterling getting a goal and hitting a camera behind the goal. Did you see that?
Would you be, Marcus, would you be downhearted as an Arsenal fan coming into this first game? You would be. Coming into the first game of the season, it's a busy stadium again.
Thought that in general.
No, I think we know the answer to that. Okay, right. But in this game, you've got every right to be. Here's the timeline, I imagine, and I just wonder, Marcus, if you agree, or Pete, which is that you get a new manager in, finally, after all that time. He's got a reputation. Mm. He's what he did at Sevilla and all the rest of it. And he's managed at PSG, who are a big club these days. And you think, great, it should be a nice, fresh start for us. And then the fixture list comes out. You think, oh, Man City at home, for God's sake. We should give a good account of ourselves because the players should be looking to impress the new manager. And then they really sort of get beaten in every department, I would say. Mm. I don't think that's unfair to say.
No.
So I wonder if Arsenal fans find it hard to know how to feel when they wake up the next day and look at what went on.
It wasn't a statement one way or the other, really, was it? Just a bit... Ugh.
Yeah, I think it's a very tricky one, as you say. You don't want that fixture straight away. But then you could say, well, at least it's out the way. I think that Arsenal, Lacazette had a chance. He may have done better with... There was one or two moments. I think if you're an Arsenal fan, as you say, you don't really know what to think about that, but I would suggest that they should just take it easy and think, okay, a few new signings in their new manager, and they are playing one of the best sides in the world, a side who have very realistic ambitions about winning the Champions League this season.
And also, with Emery, who's a departure from Wenger, as we know, it's going to take a while for his ideas to come through. I think that the players who have been there under Wenger, who have, as we've joked around on this show last season and the season before, saying, who are having a lovely old time, because really it feels a bit like a boys' club there. Long term, they're not going to be able to stay at the club if they don't respond to Emery. So it is too early to judge at this point. And now, of course, the new signs coming in have got to bed in as well. But I've seen them pick up a lot of criticism in the press today for trying to play out from the back, from trying to use Peter Cech right from the back and getting caught out. But Pete, you say, and I know you're saying that, but just very, very quickly to finish the point, I don't think it's realistic to suggest that a manager's going to completely change the way he wants to play just because they're playing Man City at home on the first day.
What do you mean? As in, why?
Well, he's not just going to start lumping it into the corner.
No, I'm not suggesting that, but using him as a sweeper keeper, using an antiquated term, his instincts are just all over the place at the moment. Petr Cech, I don't know where his brain's gone, but it's gone somewhere.
Can I just tell you what I thought when I first saw him doing that? I thought, oh yeah, he's that old, isn't he? Which I thought was really disrespectful.
Like,
but like,
it's just like, but where do the instincts go? The instincts just seem to have kind of like deserted him. Like the back end of the last season and the start of this, I just sort of think, where's that come from?
Do you know what? They could have done worse if they wanted a keeper who was willing to play out from the back. Joe Hart, they could have signed. He could have proved everybody wrong.
Do you remember the bit when Cechel literally almost put it in his own net? Yeah, I mean, that would have been some opening to the season, that.
Most of me is glad that didn't happen because it's been a
How
great...
How much? What percentage?
51%. 51.9%.
Could Liverpool cancel Karius's contract and could Arsenal sign him like that?
Yeah, no, but
through the back door.
Yeah, maybe. But Cech, I like Cech. He seems like a decent fella. He's been a wonderful goalkeeper over the years.
Great drummer.
Very good drummer.
And they've got Jay Leno on the bench. Great host. Great host.
Yeah, I mean, there you go.
Yeah. Jay Leno could be the Jay. Burn Leno could be the Jay Leno. Yeah, and Cech could be the guy at the band leader. Thing,
absolutely.
Who admittedly was on Letterman, but you get the point.
There's your Arsenal fan TV or whatever it's called. If Cech had have scored that, just tucked it into the corner, I would have been gutted. But then a part of me would have thought, that is magnificent television. It's like you never see... It, often in football, very rarely nowadays, you see something where you go, Gordon Bennett, I've not seen that before. Yeah. And that would have been it for me.
I can't remember what football match it was. I'm really, really sorry, but it was a women's match over the weekend where the striker fell over the keeper.
Was it under-20s?
Yeah, I think my under-20s women's English team jumped over the keeper. Fell on the ball, and it sort of squirted. The ball sort of squirted from underneath her, and poof, right in the back of the net. It was amazing.
Rib caged it in.
But the pressure between the rib cage and the floor made it such that it fired in at such speed. It was amazing.
I haven't seen it.
Well, I mean, that's
fantastic.
It's just England at tournaments.
So what do we think of Arsenal's new signings then? Because Man City, really, it was more of the same, wasn't it?
Yeah, of
course. Mahrez was dropped in there, but other than that,
it's very hard to tell at the moment, and. I think it is very, very difficult to start saying, oh, well, what about this, that and the other with Arsenal? But I did want to mention Benjamin Mendy, who, if you look at his starting position, if you look at where he finds himself when Raheem Sterling scores, he's hanging around the edge of the box like, I don't know, like Frank Lampard in his pomp or something.
It's so funny you mentioned that, because this morning I had exactly the same thought and I went onto his heat map online, and it's ridiculous. But his heat map is essentially centered around the corner of the opposition penalty.
There's a heat wave up there.
There is a heat wave.
Two assists as well.
It's where he gets his best Instagram content.
Yeah, and Mendy, obviously Guardiola's had a little pop. I think tongue in cheek about that. But yeah, Mendy, and it's funny, isn't it? The power of social media for someone like Mendy. He's obviously got a huge personality. I think he's played 10 times for City in total.
But he's made such an impact because he's just a fun guy. I just like the fact that the official Man City Twitter page quoted Pep Guardiola sort of saying, maybe he just stays off Snapchat and Instagram and the socials and concentrates on his football. He might be a better footballer. Or words to that effect. And then in reply, the first reply is Benjamin Mendy himself, his official account going, okay, I will. And a love heart. I love him.
Was that better when he hobbled down the touchline when... Was it Raheem Sterling who scored a very, very late winner against Southampton, I think?
Yeah, and he was hobbling about.
And he's hobbling down on crutches. Was it better than that?
It's up there.
Take it easy, Ben. Take it easy. One thing that sort of caught my eye as well is Guendouzi, who played for Arsenal on his debut. I think he became, I'm led to believe, he became the 27th French player in the Premier League era for Arsenal. Mm-hmm. Peter, can you tell me if Newcastle have had more or less players than 27 in the Premier League French?
So again, 27.
So Arsenal have had 27 French players in the Premier League. How many do you think Newcastle have had?
I reckon we're probably up there, to be honest, because,
it's 27, the same amount.
Yeah.
So no teams have had more French players in the Premier League era than Newcastle and Arsenal, which I found surprising. I mean, you're looking at me like you don't find it surprising.
No, because
it's synonymous with French football, right?
Yeah. French footballers.
Yeah.
That's more French footballers than there were in Russia.
I was in the kitchen just now, and there were two French ladies talking, and one of them said to the other one the phrase déjà vu. I was like, wow.
Great.
I've actually heard a French person say déjà vu.
That's great.
Did you?
They were probably saying that weird bloke's hanging around again.
Benjamin Mendy.
Did you hear the word avalanche after?
Do you reckon that when up-and-coming players go to their agents, I want to play in England, the agents pull like a flip pad and go, one side's Arsenal and Newcastle.
Well,
now, on this side, you've got to be good. But this will still be available to you if you're
not. What I would say, and I say that a lot on every podcast I do, but Newcastle were always one of those clubs that, certainly in the last 10 years, do a couple of scenes with us and you'll get you moved to Arsenal. Everybody.
AKA.
Even the ones that weren't even French. From tier A to bloody...
That's got
to...
Everybody.
Everybody was in the frame to be taken by Arsene Wenger eventually. Everyone wanted to move to Arsenal.
He's right. It's actually got a well-known phrase. It's called the Johan Cabayek on the a path trodden by the French footballer and prophet, Johan Cabayek.
My goodness. Well, let's talk about Kabay's current club.
He's moved on.
I was going to say, I was going to say, it's about time. His former club, Crystal Palace, they played Fulham, of course. They got a win, a good win. Mm. Roy Hodgson said, getting the 3 points at his old stomping ground, that we certainly have no reason to apologise for coming here and winning.
No one's suggesting he should apologise.
Yeah.
No.
I think that
were they? Was someone saying that?
No,
it was the first question in the press conference. Were you going to apologise?
Is it getting to ridiculous levels? You apologise if you score a goal against your old side, if you win against your old
side? Yeah, a manager's allowed to celebrate against their old side.
I think it was probably because that Fulham had a lot more possession and some of the stats.
It was an amazing game because...
Luke Moore was there.
I was there, and the first 40 minutes... I was
eating a tagine.
I was eating a lot of food. I honestly have to say, I thought Fulham were magnificent. I thought they were very, very good. And obviously Palace scored after 41 minutes, which was massively against the run of play, to the point where the people I was sat near, everyone was looking around going, oh my God, that's a real gut punch for Fulham, that. I mean, I don't know how many of you guys saw the game, but for them to go into half-time 1-0 down was farcical.
But do you not think it was... this is the case of a Fulham side who were brilliant last season, played some glorious football. Obviously, went up through the playoffs, so there were two sides above them who obviously finished, you know, Cardiff and Wolves finish automatically. But this Fulham side have a lot of attacking verve about them. They've added well, you would think, with certain players.
Certainly bodies, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But they're still a newly promoted side.
Well, I think... I do agree with that to an extent. I think, really, though, what it comes down to is it's a question of cutting edge with Fulham. So Fulham play very nice stuff. First 40 minutes, they had loads of chances. And the chances, and admittedly, he fashioned quite a few of them himself, because up until the point when it comes to the actual act of pulling the trigger, Mitrovic is almost on form, but he's almost unplayable. Yeah. I mean, I've said this before. Back to goal.
He's class.
Good defenders, experienced defenders, and Tompkins and Saka have got a good record when they play together against Palace. I don't even know they lost a game actually together, and it's been quite a few now. They can't deal with him. He can go left, he can go right, he can lay it off, he can spin around, and they found that very hard to deal with. But the problem is he's not a natural finisher, I don't think, from what I've seen. And so Hennessy was able to make some quite eye catching saves, but they were the sort of saves where you think, I'm not sure he should have been given a chance to save that.
Yeah.
And then what we've seen happen time and time again, and you guys would have seen it watching games as well as I have, they start to lose a bit of belief because they think, well, we've thrown everything at me and we haven't scored. And then throw in a sucker punch as well. And then the game completely changed in the second half. The second half, it was really even. Palace did have one chance when Fulham were dominating, and it was either a good save or it went onto the bar. I couldn't see because I was at the other end. And just finally as well, Fulham should have had a penalty and it wasn't given.
That's true.
And there's an element to this game, I think, that it just wasn't their day.
But Zaha, when he scored, the keeper came rushing out and it was a little bit of... It made it a little bit easy. They made Zaha's mind up for him. But should Roy Hodgson apologise for all this? I think he should.
Apologise anyway. And then you can't get in trouble for it. But one final word. Jean-Michel Seri was fantastic. Yeah. First half, he was the best player on the pitch. And Milivojevic did not get near him. He tailed off quite badly and had to be substituted because I don't think he's fully match fit. But that three in the middle of McDonald, Kearney and Seri is great.
Yeah, really
the
good.
The problem is they need some sort of cutting edge. And I wonder if it's too much to ask of Sessegnon at this point and whether Mitrovic is going to pick you up a lot of
Schürrle is there.
Schürrle was dragged as well.
He was, but if Schürrle can get himself going, you know, actually Sessegnon does chip in with goals.
We can't read too much into it in the first game.
I think
it's a really good reminder. I think it was probably a pretty interesting result for Fulham because obviously there's such a lot of, you know, they've spent a lot of money. They performed so well at the back end of last season. And I think it was a really useful reminder for them that teams like Crystal Palace will come and they will frustrate you, and you won't always get the rub of the green in the Premier League because it's a completely different game. And I think
got to be more ruthless,
way more useful than a one-all draw for me. Mm-hmm. In this case, I'd say.
I don't feel that way. I think if they had, I'm not sure about that, but I know what you mean. If they had won that game 2-0, and Palace has sort of tailed off, I agree. I don't know if they would have learnt an awful lot, but if they got a battling draw out of it, I think they would have learnt a bit,
right,
actually.
Okay.
And I think the way the game transpired, they'll be gutted after the first half, but in the second half they couldn't really have any complaints.
Well, and that is the type of game Fulham need to win this season.
For sure, they would have marked that down as at least a point.
Absolutely, yeah. Would West Ham have marked down the trip to Anfield as anything other than a heavy loss?
I mean, they look quite bad.
West Ham. Everyone's saying they're so bad. They are so poor at the back. That back extends a long back.
Yeah.
That's a long back that heads right into the midfield.
Into the front.
They were clear. People were making clearances in the centre circle, whacking it in the air. You're going, what football match are you watching? You're a Premier League footballer, for fuck's sake.
Earlier, you said Arsenal should have been doing that.
They were dreadful.
They've got like a 3-on-2 situation. Into the corner.
Honestly. Yeah. And they had a couple of chances and they could have, done something. They had a couple of corners. But my God, they were dreadful.
I don't like what West Ham are doing to you, Peter.
I was at work and I was watching that.
Even Newcastle don't bring this reaction out. <in you. laughs>
Was that a post-watershed performance by West Ham?
But it was, I don't know whether it was reputation, I don't know what it was, but West Ham just lost their gosh darn minds.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, it's exactly what Liverpool wanted to start their season. New signings, all the rest of it. Let's boot the Premier League door wide open. And it's exactly what West Ham didn't want, because now the pressure is on. And people say, it's only a loss away to Liverpool and so on, like a bit like Arsenal, you could say. Well, it was Man City. But the manner of the loss.
What do we always say? It's okay to go away to a team like Liverpool and lose. And we talk about it in the context of teams battling relegation. Go to Anfield and get beat 1-0 by all means. Don't get hammered,
because
it's really bad for your confidence, especially when you've got new players to blend in. I think Pete's right. I thought they were terrible, and I thought it's hard to put your finger on why, other than the fact that Liverpool are just a really good team. I know you felt about it, Marcus.
Well, was that when Daniel Sturridge scored? I mean, was that a real piss take?
And you say that, you joking.
It's still a good forward.
They have so many options on the bench.
I know, it's ridiculous.
I mean, think about them in the Champions League final. They had nothing on the bench.
Yeah, I was really pleased for Sturridge, and he did his little celebration. It was almost as if, oh, go on then. Yeah, there you go.
It looks a bit like a tribute act, doesn't it?
I think that's maybe the last time we'll see that celebration, actually.
Oh,
I think
he waving goodbye to the old and trying to usher in the new?
I think he might be. But I do hope Sturridge does feature somewhat, because we know what he's like. I mean, the word potential is no longer necessary, because we know what he can do, and he's too old perhaps to have that word, certainly. But I hope he does feature, because he's got a bit of quality, lest we forget. And the players on the bench for Liverpool, they have a real, real decent squad this season.
Definitely. One question just for you guys is, what's happened to the age-old traditional mid-table team?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
The only one I can come up with really is Leicester. No one else you can say is you'd be confident of them being a mid table. All of them could be relegated.
It went out with the.
They couldn't all be relegated, but all of them danger of being relegated.
It went out with the mid budget blockbuster.
Yeah.
You're either Avengers Assemble or you are. What's that film about that man who has sex with a peach?
James and the Giant Peach?
I don't know.
Yeah, that one.
I don't know. But do you understand? Name me a mid table team now.
Call me by your name, you mean?
Is that what it's called?
That's the name of the film.
Yeah.
I can't, no.
Newcastle.
Can't.
No,
they're not. Every team's in danger.
Every team's in danger.
So, yeah, that was sort of Stoke territory, and now they've gone.
Yeah.
That's what the Premier League tagline's going to be for them. The Premier League. Nah, they're
Arsenal?
Not mid-table.
They're not mid-table.
they'll finish bang on seventh.
Watford.
No, they're
in danger.
The Premier League tagline next season will be the 2019-20 Premier League, every team's in danger.
Next season.
And they'll hoover up the market in the distribution.
The Premier League, no one's safe.
It's like,
that's better.
No one's safe. Snappier.
Jurgen Klopp, though, he's not worried about West Ham. He said, West Ham will play for sure a good season, but they are not the Uniteds, the Cities. Well, they are the Uniteds, mate.
Disrespectful to an illustrious club.
It's disrespectful on two levels. The name of the club, and also basically saying that they'll be all right, but they're not going to be that great, are they?
don't judge us on that, though. That shower. interesting bit of trivia as well. Since Van Dijk joined Liverpool, no Premier League player has kept more clean sheets than him.
He's just.
I know that West Ham didn't offer much yesterday, but Van Dijk's organisation, he's transformed that back four. And with Alisson in there as well, I don't think Liverpool can turn round 25 points on Man City. But I think if any team can run them close...
It's got to be them.
Yeah. I don't think any team can, by the way. But if any team could, it would be them.
If I was going to be a Premier League manager in 2018, all I would say to whoever is getting my players, just get me a gigantic, tall, loud man. Yeah. To sit in the middle of defence.
Here I am.
Not tall enough.
What are you talking about?
You're not tall enough.
I know, I'm talking.
He needs to be gigantic.
Pete, I'm gigantic.
Your wrestling height is at least 3 inches taller than that, what you actually are.
Yeah.
You want a team of like water polo players.
Yeah, I just want one massive guy to tell everyone else what to do. Because that just seems to be your life.
Yeah. The amount of times me and Peter play together, he's got nothing from me.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go for a quick break, and after which we're going to talk a little bit more Premier League and dip into the Championship. See you in a moment.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
And I give it to you, you can copy it, and then you go to Big Sam, and maybe he can give a good interpretation.
And that was Louis van Gaal, of course. Give him big applause!
Van Gaal and Big Sam. How we miss. I actually saw Big Sam this morning.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Did you really?
Yeah.
He was in Wings as well.
Yeah. I was getting the breakfast special on my usual table.
I legitimately did start the day with some Chinese food.
Did you really?
Prawn crackers, and squid.
Was this when everyone was in bed, like 4 in the morning?
It was 10 a.m. I was eating yesterday.
Prawn
Chinese.
Crackers at 10 a.m.
You know, yesterday.
That's the name of your autobiography.
I don't feel good about it.
All right, well, read some emails, Damien. Maybe we'll feel good about that.
All right,
I don't really know if Pete is fit to be the mouthpiece of this show after that admission.
Well, the mouth. I'm vomiting any moment.
Stuff's gone in the mouth. What's going to come out of it?
Hello to Gusthaus, or Toss. I'm not really sure how to pronounce your name, but I'm loving the spelling. Hi, guys. Did anyone notice Shrinking Violet Mike Dean up to his old tricks on Saturday, running away shouting, "Goal!" after Zaha scored for Palace? Thank you, Gus, from Aberdeen.
He did a very exaggerated no.
No!
With his hands for the penalty. I was up the other end, because it was the Fulham game.
Yeah.
I was up the other end, but I didn't see if it was a penalty or not. but I saw Mike Dean just gesticulating wildly. And I thought, the man's back. I hope this season of the Mike Dean Show is as good as the last five seasons.
Nice.
And can I get it on Sky Atlantic on demand?
Rob from Kinross. Mark Hughes to end the season as Newcastle United manager. Fuck you, Rob. And we had another email. Fell for a second. Oh, yeah, well, here we are.
Don't swear at our listeners if you're not ready for the next one.
Ashish. Hello, Ash.
Ash the Bash.
You made a comment in the school's back in episode about not wanting to get into taking off shoes when going into a house. What have you got against taking off shoes when entering a house? Please enlighten me. And then he ends the email with the hashtag the filthy ramble.
Wow.
Ooh, which I'm not having.
So there's an interesting nuance here, I think, if you allow me. So when you go into someone's house and you're wearing socks and shoes, you should absolutely take your shoes off. This is my opinion.
Right.
If you go in and it's summer and you're wearing shoes with no socks, perhaps you've got shorts on or you're wearing a pair of boat shoes or plimsolls or whatever, it creates a problem because I understand why people wouldn't want you walking around with bare feet in their house. But also, I wouldn't want people walking around with shoes in my house either. So maybe you need to get a collection.
What about flip-flops?
Yeah, any outdoor shoe I don't think should be worn around someone's house.
But then you've got the bare feet.
Well, I've got a solution.
Okay.
Very quickly, the solution is maybe you get two pairs of each size of slippers and put them in like a little under the stairs cupboard. And you can say to someone when they come in, what size shoe are you? Mm-hmm. And they go, 10. You get them a pair of 10 slippers, then you're done. And then when they leave, you can just put them in the washing machine.
Well, it's like a bowling alley.
Exactly like a bowling alley.
Well, that's what the Japanese do. You don't walk in someone's house with shoes on. They provide little slippers for you. But I think you're a disgrace. And I think you should always offer to take your shoes off. But if someone takes you up on that offer, fuck that person.
Really?
Yeah, massively. Hugely.
What, even if you've been walking through the centre of town?
Hang on,
how dirty is your town?
Chewing gum on the bottom of your feet?
Sorry, Peter.
Why would there be chewing gum on the bottom of your foot? Just give your eye out. Whenever I walk into a room, I always give, on the mat, I always give my shoes a little scrape. That's what the mat's for. Yeah. If you've got a mat, that's what it's for. Keep your shoes on.
So hang on, let me get this straight. So if they say that, what should you do to the person?
Kick them.
All right, okay.
Kick them with your shoe. This is going to run this.
Yeah. Are we done with the emails?
We're done with the emails.
I think we are.
If you'd like to get into the show, show@thefootballramble.com. You can make it about football if you want.
Or about shoes.
Exactly. I'm looking forward to talking about Wolverhampton Wanderers against Everton. Richarlison is back. And they spent a lot of money on this young boy, but he's already paying them back, of course, 2 goals. To be honest with you, £50 million is an awful lot of money from a guy who has put in a couple of handfuls of good performances for Watford. But linking up with Marco Silva, when you see that is like... It's like a director who knows how to get a performance out of an actor. Do you know what I mean? He was always going to work for me. Now, I know it's only one game, but
he said that after the game himself in the interview. He said, you know, Marco Silva, you know, he's the guy who brought me here from Brazil or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
And he loved working with him. His performances dropped off a cliff when Silva left.
Absolutely. He was also tired, by the way, because I think he'd played quite a lot of the Brazilian season, which is slightly different.
Right, yeah.
So he didn't really have a break and he then went straight into the new season.
Oh, I didn't realise that. That makes sense.
I think that's what happened.
But listen, he was probably tired after having to play with 9 other men instead of 10 after Jagielka decided, you know what, I did say I could play another season, but I don't know if I can now.
Yeah. Was it a red card?
I thought it was, but I have to admit, because I was at the game and I didn't get back in time to watch the whole thing. I only watched it back once. It looked like a red card to me. Peter, but I don't know.
Tiredness.
Yeah,
it was.
You've put in the running order, Marcus. You've asked the question: was it harsh? So obviously, you think it was harsh.
I think it was. I think it was probably. It's an orange card.
It's an orange card.
Isn't that a Jim Campbell shout? Doesn't he normally say?
He does like it. He does like an orange card, old Jim. Ruben, is it Neves? Neves or Neves?
People say it's Neves. Neves, but we have to ask Andy on Wednesday.
We sound a little bit strange. Neves. Yeah.
Neves.
It sounds Dutch.
Neves.
Yeah, Ruben Neves with a nice free kick. Jordan Pickford just took a little tiny step to the right and then couldn't quite get there.
And then a step to the left. Put your hands on your hips.
It's not.
Hey, kids.
And then Benjamin, isn't it? Yeah, you're right, I think. Yeah.
And Benjamin D something. And then it hits the post.
Don't question Peter on such matters.
Are you finished? Give us a hand.
Lam Slimani kind of fits in with the word insane. I don't know.
Just give us a hand signal when you finish.
All right. Everton signing three Barcelona players on the last day, Mina Gomez and Digne. And Barcelona nearly got 50 million for them. And this was greeted with cheers and laughter in Barcelona. They couldn't believe how they got rid of those three players for such monies.
Well, but they tried to palm off a few players for Paul Pogba, didn't they, really?
Yeah. They did, yeah. Man United were like,
I don't see why this is a stick to beat Everton with.
No, I don't see why. No, I think, you know, Mina, obviously, his price tag that he was signed for, what, 10 million euros, something like that, hasn't done too much there, and then he's sold for 27. And really, his performances in the World Cup have shown. But again, it shows you that I know we, in this day and age, moving away from the sort of traditional manager who has such a monopoly on the runnings of the club. But Marco Silva, I just look at that man and I just think Everton could have a really good season here. And those three players, I think he just strikes me as a chap who knows what he's doing.
But also, that amount of money you spend is what sixth, seventh place costs nowadays.
Yeah.
Like it or don't like it, that's how much
it costs.
Yeah,
they may not be world beaters, but as you say,
that's how much it costs.
They'll improve the squad. I don't think there's any too much doubt about that.
Just because you're not good enough for Barcelona doesn't mean you're not.
Well, they need a replacement for Everton. They need a replacement for Jagielka for the next few games, at least. So just as well they got him.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he knew that was going to happen.
One thing I found surprising about Wolves from what I saw of it is when Everton went down to 10 men, Wolves seemed to sort of strangely reluctant to try and push.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And I know it's the first game of the season and they're a promoted team, but you sort of think, well, we're at home and they're down to 10 men and we need to get points where we can. And indeed, Everton went ahead when they were down to 10 men through Richardson, which is a lovely goal by Richarlison, wasn't it? And then obviously Wolves came back and I don't know whether it's hard to say, but maybe they'll look back on that and think, you know what? That's 2 points dropped for
us. There's a lesson, though. We talk about Fulham's lesson.
Mm.
And that's the thing. With Wolves, again, it could just be a little bit cagey. You're in the Premier League. You know, you don't know what that does to football. If they're in the Championship, they've been in the Championship for ages. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, we know the ropes and so on. But when it's the Premier League, suddenly a bit more media coverage.
But out of
Everton
three,
are turning up.
Out of those three teams, though, Wolves are the ones where people are sort of saying they could do, you know, they could comfortably be mid-table, comfortably.
That's what I mean. Yeah, some people are even having an outside bet of top half, you know, that kind of thing. So,
well, there are no more mid-table teams. I mean, by definition,
well, there you go.
Any team can finish bottom or eighth.
Well, Wolves, they could be the ones. That mid-table team is up for grabs, and I think Wolves could grab that.
Grab it.
Grab it with two paws. I'm glad you're on the same page as me there. Yeah. And before we talk about Frank Lampard and his Derby side, sorry about that, little quick mention for Watford against Brighton. Good win for Watford and Pereira with his two goals. The first one, what a crisp volley. That's what we want. Opening weekend of the Premier League. Let's get a volley under our belts.
He scored a similar one last season.
Yeah.
Didn't he? I can't remember who it was against now, though. But anyway.
This one was against Brighton.
Yeah, and Watford, it's good for them to get up and running. They're a team I find quite hard to follow. Do you feel the same?
I know what you mean.
They don't seem to be on TV very often.
Yeah, and I think it's when you look at the team, and I know Watford fans will probably go crazy and go, well, of course we have a defined sort of starting 11 and certain players. And yes, you know those players, but there's often players that come into that Watford side and you think, oh yeah, I forgot about him. There's a bit of that going on there, I think, with me and Watford.
More than the other team. I thought Hollabass had a good game, didn't he?
But I think Watford, I think they're a good side. They've got some players in there, and I think that, you know, the manager seems decent, so I think they could be. Them and Wolves, mid-table. You want to be above them, not below.
Decore's good. Kapu played well. Deeney's a nuisance, isn't he? Gives you a lot of outlets and stuff like
Troy
that.
Troy Deeney's a nuisance.
He is a real nuisance. And they've also signed a decent...
Still a nuisance. He can be a nuisance when he's 50 years old, mate.
He can. You know? They've signed a new keeper as well, don't forget.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely right. Now let's go to the Championship. Marcelo Bielsa taught managerial newbie Frank Lampard a hard lesson.
He got it. He got his.
You did,
Frank,
yeah.
Frank, he got his.
Bielsa's boys have looked superb in their opening
Frank,
two matches.
Frank. Yeah, I've been managing since 1990, mate. So, I don't know what you were doing in 1990.
Do you know when the Leeds owners, I think it was the Leeds owners, certainly the powers that be at the club, went to Buenos Aires to chat to Bielsa?
Mm. You don't chat to Bielsa.
No, true.
You listen.
You say, we're here for our appointment.
You at first, you put one of those things they put at Subway, like a spitting pit of glass, like a wall of glass.
Yep.
Yeah. So and you select your translator from a tombola.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have to watch two VHS videos at the same time.
That's right.
And then you have to...
He's talking about two different things on each one, yeah. And then he tests you.
And then you have to offer him a contract, which he accepts, and then 2 days later reneges on.
Leaves.
And then you offer him another contract, and then he decides. It's, yeah. Like, it's like very much trying to do a film with Bill Murray. Mm.
Yeah, he doesn't have an agent, just ring his phone, that phone.
Oh, dear. Yeah, well, they sat him down, and they were sort of saying, okay, so... What do you know about Leeds, or what do you know about the, not the city, the club, of course, and how did we play last season and so on? And Bielsa was just bringing out every formation Leeds played that season.
Was he?
Yeah, like even games, I think I think it was a piece in The Guardian that said it, you know, even like, well, of course, when Bolton played, was it Blackburn? I said, like two teams, which weren't Leeds, well, they set up like this. And so that force, he was just an encyclopedia of last season's championship, and they were like, yeah, it may only last three games, but my goodness.
But they've looked brilliant against Derby.
They have, yeah. But Bielsa's sides often start very
strongly.
That's
the point, isn't it? So you'd really, you can't take anything away from them. If they carry on like this, they're going to be 10 points clear in
he's making all the players like pick up litter and so on around the ground. It's like community service. But I think sometimes with footballers, there's almost an air of, oh my goodness, this guy's an absolute maverick. He's a flipping wizard. This is going to be great. Mm. But after a while, that can grate
on you
a bit.
Got to keep reinventing himself.
And he's a very strange chap, you know, let's be honest. So we shall see.
He's Guardiola, and both Guardiola and Simeone cite him as the most influential manager they've ever worked with, don't they?
Yeah.
And I also read that he's had a bed installed at the training ground.
He's had a what?
That's right, he has.
A bed.
A bed. Oh, bed. That's nice.
Yeah.
He has.
So, I mean, I thought they were fantastic.
Even he gets exhausted of himself.
But the two games Leeds have won have both been against other contenders.
That's right.
So it's a great start for them. And they knocked the ball about so well in the Championship.
If he's the man that can get Leeds United back in the Premier League, that would be great.
Oh, it'd just be great.
And he's got it written in his contract. I'm sure that if that happens, then the statue of him outside.
Let's not forget, because we haven't seen him in the top flight for such a long time, let's not forget Leeds United. They're a big club.
Of course.
If Leeds United get back in the Premier League, like that is...
Mid-table.
Newcastle getting back.
Stop calling every team mid tables. I said there's no such thing as mid-table.
The thing is, though, is mid table, you can have about five or six sides in there. So that, you know, I'm using up a few options. But yes, before we move on, a nice tribute at Rotherham for Barry Elliott, aka Barry Chuckle.
Yeah, to me, to you. Obviously, his brother was his brother was in the stadium, which is really surprising.
That's right. Yeah.
For well, he's a diehard Rotherham, isn't he?
That's right.
He's a life present or something.
That's right. I remember on Chuckle Vision that they would often talk about Rotherham United. For those outside of the UK, we'll be with you in a moment.
I'm trying to think of an American equivalent of the Chuckle Brothers, but I just can't.
Yeah.
No, I really can't. It just isn't.
It's almost like Three Stooges type stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
But not probably not as good.
Probably.
Definitely not as good.
Shall we go north of the border?
Who's top of the Scottish Premiership, Marcus?
Well, I'll be coming on to that in a minute. Yeah. The Scottish Premiership. I mean, we mentioned Frank Lampard, but we should mention Steven Gerrard as well. His Rangers side got a win against St Mirren, the Buddies. 2-0, two games and a red card in each one for Gerrard's side. So they are learning what the manager is trying to get across to them, you would think. And the Hearts beat the Celtics 1-0. What a goal from Carl Lafferty. He'll do that.
And he is
edge of the box volley, isn't it, the bottom corner?
Is he using that as an audition for a move to Rangers?
What, again?
I think all of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the Hearts are top of the league.
I heard Chris Boyd this morning. I heard Chris Boyd this morning saying that he thinks Hearts can challenge this season.
Hearts can challenge. Yeah, I mean, already it's getting a bit predictable in Scotland as well, I would say.
But, I mean, Rangers surely can't go through having a player set off in every single game.
Yeah, so Gerrard's going to have to mix that up, you would think. And squad rotations will come into it.
Ross McCrory, who got sent off in the St Mirren game, which they wanted, he was sent off after half an hour.
Yeah, were they 2-0 up or certainly 1-0?
And the guy who was sent off in the first game, wasn't he sent off after about 8 minutes?
Yeah, and they nailed it for very close.
They're doing it early as well. It's not like it's a last minute effort.
It's Gerrard basically saying, this is how easy it is.
Yeah.
We can get it down
to big night for Celtic. Tuesday night as well to try and get through against AEK Athens, because they're going to try and be judging themselves on their Champions League progress now, because they've won the league so many times in a row. There's also been talk that older Brendan's not too happy as well.
Yeah, reports of him or suggestions that he's holding the board to ransom.
Yeah, and apparently, because the stuff that's come out is
he denied it though.
Well, the stuff that's come out is apparently Celtic's wage bill's gone really high under Rodgers, and they're probably going to have to sell Boyata,
yeah,
aren't they? And he's been offered around for big money, so that sort of makes sense. But you wonder where Brendan's going to go next, because realistically, they can't get beyond what absolute maximum a quarter final of the Champions League, you'd say.
Oh, that, I mean, that's a push. Phenomenal achievement.
And they could probably go a little bit further, maybe in the Europa League. But beyond that, I mean, it's hard to know where Rodgers goes next, apart from to a different club.
Yeah, it is very, very difficult, because they've got to pay the wages if they're going to attract certain players. And
well, if you can't pay the wages and you've won the league, you've won the title every single season and you're getting Champions League money every single time, I'd sort of go, well, I just wonder what their cut is financially from the TV stuff.
But I would say to Brendan, you know, forget the Champions League, mate. You've got to concentrate on the league.
Yep.
You're already behind.
Sure, already behind. Gaps can be made up.
Indeed. All right, then. Let's go for a quick break and then we'll crack open the WhatsApp group, eh? Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Don't forget the preview show sponsored by Bet365 is out on Thursday. Luke Moore's bet didn't come in.
And if you look at why, I was shown by several Twitter followers to the show across the weekend, never bet on a game involving Everton.
Yeah.
The Rodden family fell foul of that repeatedly.
Do you know what? I forgot all about that.
So yeah. What we need is a listener better of the season. Show at thefootballramble.com to contribute. And if I select your bet, I'll tell you on Thursday's show and we'll see what comes up.
Absolutely. We look forward to it. That's on Thursday. Right. Our new feature. It's the Ramble WhatsApp group.
It is. Things that have been discussed on the WhatsApp group that we have together.
Have a dip in the group, Peter.
Have you got a little jingle for that, Pete?
No, we haven't got a jingle.
For God's sake!
I'm waiting for my voiceover man to come through. He hasn't come through yet, all right?
Okay, fine.
Do you really want the inner workings of the Football Ramble and my, you know, sat in front of a hot cauldron of audio?
carry on.
If you want that.
Of course I do.
Peter, you're the voiceover man.
No, he lost the gig.
He lost the gig, did he?
Pinchy again.
Pinchy took it off. Pinchy took it off me.
Pinchy did every voiceover ever.
Buy this. Donald, he's in Ready Player One.
Donaldson does the job.
Pinchy is the
Get in the WhatsApp group.
Pinchy's the Google of voiceover. Everyone just goes to him straight away.
Now it's time for the Ramble WhatsApp group.
The only time anyone goes to Donaldson is just to see if he's got Finchie's number. It's like Bing in Google.
All right. Well, Finchy's not here, so we're going to have to ask Pete. What is in the rot?
I've got something, Pete, but you go first.
Right. Well, I mean, I always thought, Marcus, you were going to be doing this, but we're sharing them around later, the story. So, all right, well, we'll start with the Newcastle fan with his knob out.
I wanted to give you the pleasure of saying that.
Pleasure?
He's one of your own. He's one of your own.
He's been banned, Marcus, for 3 years. From the ground, from football grounds, after flashing.
That's a stiff punishment, that.
That is a stiff punishment. He's a youth team coach as well.
Oh, really?
Yes. Not at the club, no. But in general. No.
I mean, that's still poor behaviour.
Poor behaviour. 3 years is harsh.
Yeah.
Just for a little, showing a bit of knob.
It was a bit of knob.
Oh, the whole thing was...
Three years for doing the old Don Hutchinson. It's very hard. It was
actually shaking his member at Spurs fans for 5 to 10 seconds was what the court heard.
More than three shakes, you're playing with it. Yeah, that's the rule.
It's an estimate, but I imagine time goes very slowly when a man's waving his penis in your face.
58-year-old grandfather Keith Steinmetz.
That's the key.
Said it was a moment of sheer stupidity after shaking his member at the Spurs fans back in May at Wembley during a match. I think we lost 1-0. Harry Kane scoring.
Yeah, that probably happened in the middle. At Wembley, saved him in the big stage.
The home of Willie waving.
Yeah.
Pete, can I just ask, as you're a Newcastle fan and you are obviously the spokesperson within this room for this, where does this rank? Is it above or below punching of the horse?
Oh, it's definitely below punching the horse.
Punching the horse is worse.
His defence in court said he will be a church mouse when he goes to matches in the future. He will ensure that he doesn't drink at all and ignore any goading. I would argue him getting his church mouse out is the problem.
Keep the mouse in the house.
He's got to wait 3 years before he can go again, hasn't he?
I know. Before he can gourd again.
Well, there's not really anywhere to go after that. But the one something I'd like to bring to the table
is the
continued plight of Fort William FC.
Yes, in Scotland.
Now they play at Claggan Park, which is one of the most picturesque grounds in the country. I would say it's in the foothills of Ben Nevis. And they play in the Highland Football League, of course. And it's just as well they play at a picturesque ground because
The football's not much to look at.
Last season, they picked up just 5 points in the Highland League and conceded 180 goals. But for some reason, I couldn't fully work out, and I'll come on to a bit of a shout out in a minute, or a bit of a plea for more information. They're back in the Highland League again this year, and they've started off with the following results. 11-1 defeat, followed by another 11-1 defeat, followed by a 6-0 defeat, and then at the weekend they just missed out 10-0.
He's always the one in an 11-1.
So at least you can have a look around and go, God, it's bloody lovely here, isn't it?
Yeah. Because maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe they're just looking at the distracted scenery.
And I want to know if there's any Fort William fans listening to the show. That's number one. If you are, get in touch, show at thefootballramble.com.
Proper fans.
About your plight. Yeah. Well, you have to be a proper fan to go there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but, you know.
Yeah. Are you going to concede more than 180 goals this season? That's what I'd like to know. And can we go there for a trip? It looks bloody lovely. And Marcus will probably get in the team.
We're all getting the team. Well, if they need a big, shouty man at the back, Luke, then
that's what Pete wants.
Then we don't know where to find one.
I'm already working full-time for Pete. I'll see if he'll let me go on loan north of the border.
Luke played a football match. Did we do this on the Ramble? Luke played a football match recently and a ground or something, and it was really fun.
Two matches.
It
was a tournament, yeah.
And I was like, oh, Luke, I would have loved to play that match. Why didn't you give me a call? And Luke went, I literally gave you a call, asked whether you wanted to do it, and you said you couldn't. I got really unbelievably angry about not being asked about something I'd definitely been asked about.
He was indignant about it.
Yeah. I could have got in goal. They had Andy Gorham in goal.
They did. Both of them. Both Andy Gorham's in goal.
Come on. We'll finish with a little Diego Maradona update. He was very upset that he was left out of the candidates in the running to take over as Argentina manager. I mean, it's not really news, but it's the quote, ladies and gentlemen, that I want to bring to you. He was recently named new chairman of Dynamo Brest in Belarus, quite fittingly.
But how does that even happen? How did they just call him up?
Because they want publicity, and they've just got a bit more.
I'd love to know how many clubs he is the honorary president.
You wave a few euros in his face and he'll come running. But he said, I want to say that it bothers me that some journalists don't include me among the potential coaches. Chavo Fux, for example, didn't even name me among the possible candidates. I mean, there's a man out there called Chavo Fux, ladies and gentlemen.
And that's why that's in here.
There you go.
Is that why that's in here?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. A couple of other bits we touched on the WhatsApp group. Wayne Rooney's crossfield ball.
Oh, beauty.
After retaining possession for his team. That against 10-man Orlando. Let's make that very
clear.
Yeah,
that was very good, though. It was very good.
I don't think that ball was that good. I don't think the ball across. I thought the tackle was good, but I thought the cross was a bit of a whiff.
The ball was in the mixer. Get it in the mixer. It's a 96th minute, to be fair, Pete. Yeah. It's 2-2. I mean, what are you expecting to do?
I'm just.
And he's got a broken nose.
Yeah. And Ronaldo obviously scored his first goal for Juve in a town that only had 4,000 people in it. 5,000 people arrived for the match.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's James amazing. Horncastle, who was actually at the game, he's going to talk to us about it on the continent on Wednesday.
Oh, cool.
He said. He went to the ground for 11:30, and the game didn't kick off till 5, and the traffic was so bad they couldn't get into the town.
That's arteries, how bad it was. We need arteries. Uh-huh. And
arterial routes is what we need.
Speaking of arterial routes, Ronaldo's on the mend as well. He got pneumonia in Ibiza, didn't he?
Was he on the mend?
He's on the mend now. He's going to be out by Monday, apparently. But it quite amused me that the hospital was called the Can Misses. I imagine it's probably pronounced slightly differently in Ibiza, but the Can Misses, like. I'm not getting surgery at the Can Misses. I always missed the vein.
That's the best hospital name since Whipps Cross, where David Beckham was born.
That's right.
Definitely.
Absolutely right. There you are, ladies and gentlemen. That is the end of the Football Ramble this week. Thank you very much for listening. Of course, the preview show is out on Thursday. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Cheers.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
See you later.
Thank you, me, and thank you, the listeners. See you on Thursday.
And it's goodbye from London.
You're too scared to play in that tournament, Donaldson, and you know it.
Bring it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah. You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.